Long time.
Okay.
Well, colleagues, I think what we should do then is to start with our meeting. Welcome the our colleagues from the Okanagan local government, Balkan. The Sherhatsins and Odile, Susan Kaele, Comrade Mikaele, and the team, and all of your colleagues who are really welcome to our meeting. I hope that meeting is going to be very brief and very fruitful. Because I think we are ready today to get us through every congregation now. And, to bring us to understand that there are other issues that you need us all of us to do. And then honorable members of the fellow committee, most welcome also. Thank you for. I think we are starting a meeting on time. And then the staff of the there's one item on our agenda. Another item, of course, would be minutes. This would be part of the agenda of the meeting. Because we are not adopting them underground. So now, we are most welcome. I just hope that you are lucky that you are not, we didn't have a problem with the earthquake. Things are still organized, of course, we're in a severe crisis. And take us through on the issues that you want us to discuss with you. And then we'll see then how we take it off.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. And I remember more like that, Chairperson, that I was in my office when there was an earthquake. So when it happened, I thought the one mind
into your office will get up.
You know, it's in the lunchroom thing.
Oh.
So I thought because we are so much in the mind, it's just one of those issues.
Yeah.
It's when there was a national outcry that they were this is serious. I thought it's an issue. Chair, we want to take this opportunity and thank you, but last time you gave us more time to retreat and come better prepared for the questions. I thought it was important also to apologize for the national chairperson of SALDA. He is in Cape Town by attending the meeting convened by the president and Councillor Sharon. So I'm here with Councillor Gale, Comrade Gale, sister and leadership of the administration of SALDA, COVID and the rest of the officials. Just to start that, in the last meeting, an issue was raised about SALDA, and we would hope not to go to all the details, but to better clarify that where SALDA has become political or politicized, and that's one thing that we would want to indicate that we fully representing all the parties and work very well. There is no standing that with SALDA takes political party positions. So we are the partisans. And we try our best that we are not bringing party issues into SALDA. A question was raised also, Chair, about the SALDA funding model. We would want to indicate that currently SALDA receives about 6% of the funding and therefore from the national government, I think that point was made, and the rest of the money we receive from the ladies of municipalities. And the question was about, in case SALDA receives so much from the national government, I would not go in subsidiary to government. What we did say, we have drawn for the white people, not for government. And more to further clarify what we are all about as South. And more, perhaps we want to emphasize that we want to provide specialized services to supplement the sensing capacity of municipalities. And we also want to be a hub of research and information dissemination, facilitate sharing and learning between the funds and human resource development. So while we are intermittent and interdependent, but we see ourselves as a hub that can be able to bring capacity and build knowledge around local government, and that would complement the other space of government. And so we don't see ourselves as a subcommittee of any other department. Suffice to indicate that we are coming into the board with the support to the rest of the RSVF. And we do indicate that as local governments are currently funded by member municipalities. We receive very little from the national government. And so I also thought it might be important to indicate that the other question that was raised, the second question, was about public participation in oversight. How does Sarawak ensure that public participation in oversight gets incorporated into municipal processes? And how is Sarawak strengthening the impact? At all times, we've always believed that we must think what we said only for us, for public participation. So we thought we should develop a position that indicates that what councillors must initiate to what committees also be arranged meetings where interaction occurs between different sectors of the community. And therefore the code of conduct of councillors must ensure that the members of the working group act in the best interest of the community. I suppose we all are aware that and this issue that we thought we should be blind about, that the expectation that says what committee represents sectors in different worlds, practically that's not true. And therefore we thought we should have more other ways of encouraging public participation apart from those committees. So in our interest, I think that's a question that spoke to our civil society movement. But as far as we also it's important to see who else can use in the forum of local governments, municipal governments, that we can be part of municipal governments. So we draw from all civil society movements, and I'm sure we'll indicate later on what we have started so far in dealing with local governments. So SAGA participating on benchmarking of public participation in municipalities, therefore we develop guidelines documents and mechanisms that municipalities can to use to ensure effective participation in addition to what committees. And the document was shared with all municipalities. And SAGA is currently part of the project sponsored by JGI, the German non-government organization, in terms of the way of public participation approaches in the public administration set in order to determine the most effective approaches. And we'll draw examples of what else do we do to engage. The committee would also appreciate that there are more other ways of engaging communities apart from what committees. Our experience is that in most all kinds of IGP meetings in business, in a population of 3,000, the meetings convened, less than 100 people attend. And that indicates that that cannot be an effective way of engagement with communities. So we also would have arranged in the industry of sound that those who are represented, parties that are represented in the industry, political parties themselves must do something to encourage conversations in communities. And the relevance of what needs to be done with municipal governments. And that is an issue that we put on the table for further discussion. And so best can we improve public participation? That question was linked to the question with the oversight and impact responsibility and what SAGA is doing. We want to indicate that our review that both internal and external oversight in this politics are important, that the politics as well as the political structures should be held accountable. It's a matter that we are confronted with it. Those who came before this executive would have encouraged that it's important that accountability for political leadership be encouraged. And therefore, across almost the entire country, MPs are established in these parties. Although the constitution currently provides both legislative and executive powers in the party, rest in municipal council, it should not be impaired effective oversight. And it's an issue that we would have just discussed, that how best do we ensure that municipalities, in particular small municipalities, are accountable? It's easier with bigger municipalities than those in this state, that you can establish committees that can provide oversight. But how do we put that against the small municipalities? And our view is that, of course, that municipal council must also be trusted in such that they are able to provide accountability structures that both political and administrative leadership of municipalities are accountable. And therefore, Targets championed the establishment of MPs across nine provinces, and the initial step to ensure that they are established. After the role of practical guidance on establishment of MPs, because knowledge to that effect, we have learned over a period of what needs to be done. There are cases where there's good practice, and we hope that soon we'll be able to indicate which are those municipalities that are doing very well, and which ones that we need to give better support to them. And so we hope that the guidelines are more helpful to municipalities for them to be able to provide and ensure that in the annual reports we are able to improve how the even the Auditor General findings come to about, because it's an issue that has also been raised by the Auditor General. And during 2013-2014 financial year, Targets identified good practices in operation of the entire system. We've achieved different practices. In the current financial year, Targets was a part of this municipality support program that was recently launched. There is more that detailed issues that we would indicate. And the specific number of municipalities in the research to ensure the functionality of the MPEC is effective. And as I indicated, that we have identified municipalities that are doing very well and how the MPECs have actually changed the platforms of municipalities. But we also hope that we will extend to other municipalities that need to be dealt with. As far as developed a differentiated model for separation of functions, I must indicate that this is the point that I was making earlier on, that it is easier to offer the national discourse about municipalities, predominantly it's about metrics. And we want to put that in our approach, that while metrics are very important, but there is a need to focus even on small rural municipalities and make them accountable. And that's the point that we're making, that we need to differentiate municipalities. So therefore, the model of separation of functions must properly indicate that in that sense. The document guides how municipalities can develop a model of separation of functions within the local government legal framework by using the Section 79 committees of councils and oversight structured before the testing of the effectiveness of Section 87 as chaired by executive council. Johannes Berg left that issue, and I'm sure in Metro it's now common call that we are able to separate the functions. As I said in our, the issue is easier with Metro than big municipalities. We are yet to complete and make districts, in particular in rural municipalities and small village municipalities. How best can we ensure that we make these functions more progressive and make it better? I am going to invite Mr. Ngele to deal with the SAMCO issues and such, that was an example, but more how we interact with the society movement, and then we'll come back.
Thank you very much, sir, if I may. Much as the deputy chair rightly says that SAMCO was mentioned as an example, because SANCO is not the only civil society organ that exists out there. SARA has identified the need to partner with civil society in order to ensure that the true inclusivity and democratic governance with civil society at the local level. And to that extent, SARA has really a SANCO Institute co-hosted a round table that 2 weeks ago that looked at this very notion of creating a civic academy, and it should be different from what other academies are doing, but just to look specifically as how we utilize and draw in on the expertise of civil society over and above what we have, for example, as your ward committees, because the ward committee structures are supposed to be multi-party, they are supposed to be members of people who are rooted in the communities, who should also assist, the local councillor with intelligence coming from that community, because they are supposed to represent the various structures of the community. However, it was felt that perhaps more needs to be done. We have this structure, but we still see, community protests being on the rise. So perhaps this academy that we are looking at should be considered as part of the IDR also, over and above what we are doing. We should be looking at that structure, forming the formation of an academy. We hope that it will assist in reducing the protests, the violent protests that we are seeing countrywide. And I think the deputy chair has also talked to the next one on the separation of powers to reinforce that culture of oversight. I think our problem is also perhaps partly with the constitution. If we can have a constitutional amendment, but if one looks really at Chapter 7, there are a lot of gaps there in the constitution when it comes to Chapter 7. It seems to some of us that, when the constitution was adopted, everything was done because the people who wrote the constitution, who negotiated the constitution, were all there, and everybody took very, very clear care of themselves, your judges, the Chapter 9 institutions and so on. The provinces were here, the National Assembly people were here, but there wasn't a voice from local government, such that when it was drafted, I think it is the shortest chapter in the constitution which talks about the rest will be sorted out by legislation. But legislation itself is not enough. We feel that for true separation of powers and proper oversight to happen, because then at the moment sometimes it also depends on personalities in the municipalities where the speaker and the mayor are in good terms. If they are not, then oversight becomes very difficult. So therefore, if there is a constitutional amendment to that effect, then it makes it imperative for oversight to happen and to hold the executive accountable, because then it would be an imperative that is a constitutional mandate. And on the next one on corruption, I don't know, this for us sometimes we don't know whether it's perceived or it is real, because in some instances it is real, in others it is also perceived that there is corruption at local level. But I would like to believe that sometimes this set person comes from among the members. Yeah. We go as parliamentarians, if you like, with NCOP, whoever, to the communities without coming into the local area to find out what the issues are in that particular locality. When you get to the community, they will tell you, oh, the councillor is very corrupt, we hardly see them. The only time we saw them was when they wanted our vote, and once we voted them in, they never came back to us. And yet, if it had come to the municipality, you shall have found that on a monthly basis, or perhaps even in some municipalities, on a quarterly basis, there are meetings that are happening there. And they are registered to prove that point, that there were meetings, there are meetings within the community. But then you go in there, you promise people, we'll build your road because you want a road, we'll bring water, we want this. when you haven't spoken to the local authorities, you don't know what is in their IDP, whether these things are budgeted for. And when they do not happen, then the councillor is corrupt. Because it means there was money budgeted for this according to that community. That, you know, they told us, members of parliament were here, they told us that there will be this happening and these things are not happening. So it means the councillor is eating the money. Why is it that we are not having these roads? So therefore, we in Salga, in November last year, we held an anti-corruption summit. And out of that summit, the outcomes that we agreed to was that we need to intensify fight against corruption, because there is also corruption. We know that even if you look at some of the papers yesterday, there are officials that have been taken to court. Some are awaiting sentences on selling government land, government houses, and so on. So we cannot say, you know, we are all angels in local authority, but we cannot brush everybody with the same brush. That we need to strengthen local government communication through profiling of good practice and improving public education about our access, our successes and measures that are in place to fight corruption and maladministration, so that we isolate the negative culture that persists at the moment. We need to strengthen our institutional mechanisms, and that these are the outcomes of the summit, by the way, that we need to strengthen our institutional mechanisms and processes, including the use of technology, information technology, to minimize opportunities for corruption and maladministration. We need to also strengthen the oversight capability to be robust and resilient to withstand forces of corruption and maladministration by increasing, community participation in governance. If in some instances, because I know there are those who have hotlines, to report corruption and so on, those must be supported. We need to intensify the support to municipalities in the appointment of qualified, skilled officials to continue to improve the work of council and councillors, so that we try to minimize corruption where it exists or it is perceived to be existing. And following this summit, it is felt that a proposal should be made to COFCA. We have to make that proposal to COFCA to address some of the areas that have been mentioned here to assist us in the fight against corruption. And the process may be to be dealt with, but that was another question that was raised, that there need to be consequences, and we believe strongly as others that there should be consequences for being a public property. Much as, they are deliverables, and the local authorities are delivering, there is a lot that has been delivered since 1994 to our communities. But people, when they feel unhappy about this or that, that has nothing to do with a property, of a public property, the first thing they do to raise their protest, maybe they don't like the councillor, they don't like the face of this or that other thing, they're dissatisfied about something that has even have nothing to do with service delivery. They will go to the libraries or schools or whatever, which they would like to believe, and maybe it's also something that the academy that you spoke about would assist in ensuring that people understand, or people out there understand, that government by itself owns nothing. Government is a mere custodian of what the public owns. These schools are made by, or the libraries are built by public funds that come from the fiscal for our taxes. So it is that we also need to, we believe that, there should be serious consequences. You look, for example, recently in Joburg, and not only in Joburg, where electricity pylons have been, tampered with or even stolen. That to us really should fetch a very serious, consequence. There should be serious sentences or charges, because it is not only, people can die, the economy of the country itself depends on that electricity. So that to us sometimes it should fetch a serious charge, like the double charge or and even treason to some extent. so that there are serious consequences, and people should refrain from burning or tempering public property, but there should really not only be consequences, but serious consequences. Maybe I should end.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure, thank you very much. May I again invite that we deal with question number 7, which is in its role, the prior body, in particular, because the question was raised to that, is not a dream form of the affordability of the increase. As we would want to say, part of the bargaining process, SAGA has a dedicated process to ensure that it communicates progress in the bargaining process to its members and assess the impact that proposals have in its own members, especially in terms of the wage negotiation. And so the question number 7 is, as was raised, it was about to SAGA not follow a differentiated approach with regard to collective bargaining. We do want to indicate that SAGA supports the general principle that one size fits all approaches to the appropriate local government. And the point I've made in the is that different sizes of the strategies, some urban, some rural, and that you would require to differentiate. And question number 9, through 2016 letters approaching, SAGA as an entire body should ensure that stability in the sector. What is the current status of collective agreements? Will it be concluded before or after the elections? I think that our response is that the collective agreement has been extended by an agreement until a new agreement has been concluded. The SAGA has already started this first in engaging with unions on the wage agreement. We hope that we have a multi-year agreement concluded before the 2016 elections. That question is that we want to indicate that we have started and would ensure that before the election we have concluded the multi-year agreement. Question number 10, Chair, collective agreements, how does SAGA ensure that bargaining council agreements are implemented and that it does not always affect? SAGA has to ensure that all agreements are duly communicated on these policies and that any aspect that may create challenges as you explained to Ms. Parity. And so also we are sitting with others that experience specific challenges. We had cases that we had to go back after the collective agreement and ensure that members respond to what needs to be done. In relation to question number 11, Chair Preston, SAGA needs to start with the preparation for councillor induction program for post-2016 local government elections. We would like to indicate that we have already established an internal multidisciplinary team that will review the previous processes to identify areas where the program needs to be strengthened for induction of post-2016 elections. And that team is starting this somewhere. In the run-up to 2016 local government elections, the following activities will be undertaken to ensure that the capacity program remains available to institutional level across the local government, and then we want to indicate that this is how we want to respond to that question. So most importantly, the issue that SAGA raised, the NGO of SAGA agreed that there is a need to establish a center for leadership and government. And that has also generated discussions within the sector. The question is, what is that? And what is the content in regards to the center for leadership and government? And that has been compared with what Balama is doing, what CITA wants to do, what COCTA wants to do. And perhaps we thought we should take some time to really explain that we have no intention to compete with any aspect, so that's to indicate that a center in the center does not mean a school. You can have a center within a broad school. And in this case, our focus is to lead with the local government leadership and 356, 57 leaders to really ensure that we create and build better knowledge on how to respond. After the Auditor General has spoken, this matter of leadership has come so much in local government. So the center is going to be dedicated to learning engineering facilities and get to show that we share knowledge and the practical knowledge that we can build to put in the chain. And so the essence is also to draw from the experiences that we have for those who were there before can come back and help of what is to be a good local government system. So we really want to counter this thing that we are, the content is to almost becoming another university of parallel process, but the intentions of what COFCA wants to do in terms of an institution or parliament. So I think people should know that the Pretender aims to build the capacity and knowledge levels of elected local leaders, government leaders, and senior managers in the area of leadership and government, with the objective of developing local government along the principles of many organizations. In one of the questions that we have indicated is that we do want to make sounds like hub of local knowledge. And if you look at what is the brief of Southern in the white paper, you would then be able to realize that in actual fact we are feeding into what white paper says, what will be the role of Southern. In this case of generating information, research, and ensuring that there's a proper knowledge of leaders who are going to take over municipal government. So the response is actually what the white paper said. And that's why we thought the center is very important. And then if you look at the report in page 7, we do want to attempt to give what is the difference, what makes us different from the rest of the other initiatives that are put forth. If you look at question number 13, the revenue for municipalities is largely dependent on electricity. It should be noted that the energy efficiency between residential and industrial sector many people affect this revenue. And some municipalities are already seeing a decline in energy demand in the associated region. There should be included in financial discussions around this revenue models. Another point that we continue to raise in different forums, national and provincial government, as the need for us to really revisit the municipal revenue models. And that's why in the previous years we had a discussion about the distribution of the future of shares and the rest of the grants that are provided to municipalities. That's a way to release much better from municipality to depend on the energy. So that's an issue that we thought would be important. There was a question she raised about what is SAGA doing in this regard with what is our view. In fact, I worked closely with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in the readiness of assessment of municipalities to implement the city. Despite the outcomes of assessment, SAGA is of the view that municipalities are not yet ready to implement the act. In addition, it's our view that it will create huge challenges in the airport to be implemented without the regulations to even become promulgated. SAGA also has a number of concerns on the draft regulation that identifies. And so, Jeremy, the point that we really want to put forward is that we are engaged on the question that's raised. And we've done submissions to the department and indicate where we are and what needs to be done. As we would have indicated, that part of our responsibility is to really make acts that are going to have direct impact on the local government. And therefore, we should be able to engage with that. If you would allow me, I want to invite Pini to speak to question 15, which is about building towns in terms of becoming good.
Thanks, Deputy Chair. Good morning, members. Question 15 and 16 are more or less related because question 15 speaks to the limited availability of skills in the training phase, but we have a SAGA developed a professional framework to assist municipalities in the appointment of technical staff members around the training function. We do realize, though, or attend to the issue of the declining town centers in especially distressed small towns. Have the full program on number 16, where we have launched a program to assist the regeneration of small towns and we identify them as the root cause of the urban flux and pressure on the service delivery demand. We have a role to play in this, which is four identified areas of project management, looking at the real spaces and linking them with the AI communities. And I must indicate here that when we speak of towns, we speak of not just the townscape, but the town in its rural hinterland. So this is a contribution to rural development. We also take a role in coordination. We will be launching annual conferences to share experiences. As we speak, over 40 small towns are participating in the program. And we have training with 19 towns, 33 of them from 6 provinces. Resource mobilization, some organizations are partnering with the program. With funding, but we hope with results from local government, we can call for a specific facility around small town regeneration funds. And the rest just speaks to how we go about this, because we don't necessarily want to take it as business as usual.
Chair, thank you very much. I also want to invite viewers to deal with 17, 18, and 19, and 20.
In our endeavor to support in public, so they've been recently looking at the issue of their financial viability, understanding quite well the conduct and locational issues of our municipalities, the absence of a clear tax base, the contradiction between the demand for bearing improved services versus willingness to pay for those services. We've looked at various potential instruments that would enable municipalities to give some of these, that is improving the quality of services, but also ensuring that they do beef up their revenue collection systems. We have been exploring a number of mechanisms that would enable local government to play that role effectively. Part of the consideration has been our initiative to review the state of the billing system across the country, look at what is optimal, what is working, and where municipalities could improve around the billing, services. Because it can be read quite often, there's an albatross around municipalities. But also we've been in a process to engage other entities, such as the Papaskan Revenue Services, to see what examples and lessons we can draw from the system and how we can go about, ensuring that people pay for taxes and so on. One particular would be our comparison with SARS, the indigenous DWCs, and because we do acknowledge that some of these folks, DWCs are not, up to speed. So that's what we were doing, because we acknowledge upfront that what municipalities are getting from the national system may not be entirely sufficient, hence they need to augment, their coffers with the revenue that they generate themselves. Part of that consideration is also, on new, incentives for people to pay and instruments like local taxation that could be introduced in metro and in other instances. On the question of audit outcomes, we invited in meeting with the Auditor General before the outcome support was published. We got to understand the root causes, of poor audit outcomes by municipalities, how the AG, from their perspective, understands to be the key issues that need to be addressed. And having interacted, at that level and consulted broadly, we identified four pillars that we propose should inform our approach as well going forward. Those being a focus on leadership issues, on governance, on institutional capacity and financial management. These are interconnected and interrelated issues that we think over and above what the AG has said, should assist us in improving the state of financial governance and in municipalities. We did, get to agree with the AG that there are three essential, root cause issues that need to be attended to. We did agree with them that there are about six, highly risky areas that need to be attended. We did as well, agree with the AG that they provided their support, long after the fact, and we need an ongoing, arrangement to support, municipalities. So what we have done is, well, in consultation and working in partnership with the National Treasury and the COCA, we have initiated what we call the Municipal Audit Support, you know, program, which was strict to target and focus primarily on the 79 municipalities that received other, you know, findings, that is 15 municipalities that received the findings, and those 13 that didn't support for the 4 times altogether. And that's going to be our focus, well, finding our, you know, mechanisms to interact with the municipalities, get them to agree on the kind of support, you know, to be deployed. We intend getting into MOUs with the provincial treasuries and Department of Local Government. So that's where they play into the space. We don't duplicate, you know, their efforts and their resources. But we intend having a complementary and supportive and a well-coordinated, you know, mechanism. So as well as mobilizing our own internal resources, we've had, for instance, sessions with almost all the audit and consulting firms around the country, getting a sense from their side what their understanding of the issue around how they could be better managed as consultants or as entities that usually support these parties. We started also in this province, the Western League, in directing with the staff of the auditor general that gets deployed to audit municipalities. Because we figured out that in that process, some of them tend to fall short in understanding local government. So we agreed that in our process, well, that in the office of the auditor general, nationally, province by province, we will train all the auditors, you know, just on the basis of how local government, you know, operates, so that when they go into their audit, they are well informed and they will understand municipal proposal. The AG has quite welcomed that, and we were jointly executing that initiative. That's basically the issue. Our approach with regards to this is not an overly ambitious one that says by next financial year all municipalities must have been audited. We are taking a cautious, you know, approach the time around, that says we want to incrementally graduate municipalities out of the adverse situation into test qualified and then eventually unqualified and above, you know, our qualification.
Thank you very much, Chair. May I also request, Chair, that allows me to divide the record between question 21 and 22.
The question was, with the which urbanization, what is ALGA doing to assist the process of urbanization, and then link to that is how do we support municipalities in terms of infrastructure provision. Now, at the outset, the question says ALGA is very active in active participant in the development of the urban, integrated urban development framework. We think that good work has been done, but we think the biggest work in terms of the IUDF still lies ahead in ensuring that it's actually implemented. And so we will play a big role in that. With regard to generally in terms of the infrastructure, SOGA is involved in a number of processes, and for us one of the very important issues is the review of the municipal infrastructure grants. There's a lot of grants that sometimes are fragmented, and we are working with National Treasury in the review of that. And due to that is we are very focused on the infrastructure renewal and the maintenance of existing infrastructure. We know that if we don't ensure maintenance, that we will need more renewal. And we also assisting municipalities in that in terms of advocating for infrastructure renewal and then also the maintenance and ensuring that a good part of the budget of municipalities are actually focusing on maintenance of existing infrastructure. Then in MIS, there's also been a new approach where we actually categorize municipalities according to their performance in terms of engineering services, which includes water, sanitation, electricity, and waste management, and a limited number of environmental functions. And then based on that performance, there are dedicated support being provided. Some of the support being provided by SOGA, but also because of capacity constraints, departments, other role plays in the sector, and also other municipalities where we have very strong schemes to make sure that other municipalities assist each other and other role plays in the sector can also assist municipalities. And part of this is because of some of the skill shortages that we experience within local government when it comes to the technical part. Then with regard to biogas production and harvesting of gases from waste management sites and waste water treatment plants, we are working with the German Association for Technical Support, to also come up with guidelines and case studies so that we can sit municipalities to say, does it generate, how can we use it, not to release it into atmosphere, that we can use it for biofuel or such. And there are some good examples like the city of the Queenie that are already using some of the gas from its waste disposal plant to actually fuel the vehicle that they use on the plant. In regard to environmental management, this is a bit of a newer focus area of Volga, and we are also busy with the study on the cost drivers and to see how can we then use the study to make sure that we have environmental management practices within municipalities that are not only cost effective but also the benefits of the environment. Then also in the waste infrastructure, we're also busy with the grant review there. I don't know if you're aware, but a district municipality cannot get NIC funding for waste disposal sites. So if you want to start a shared service, you cannot, the district can actually not apply for funding, NIC funding, and we're looking at the review of those, because we also want to encourage shared services in municipalities to be more cost effective. And then with regard to the electricity distribution industry, we think that there's a big need to do further work on the restructuring. We know there are legal issues that are currently not getting the attention they deserve, so we are doing a lot of advocacy work there. And then also we work with SIPs 10 and 6 to also increase the electrification of the country. And part of that is also that we are looking at how metros and capacitated bigger local municipalities can assist municipalities where there are skill shortages. So that in general is the wider supporting work with municipalities. Then one specific process that we have is the Selva Municipal Benchmarking Initiative for Water Services. And that benchmarking is specifically aimed at improving the efficiency of service delivery with regard to water, trying to curb those losses. We know that we're a water scarce country and that we have to optimize the use of the waters in municipalities. And since it was established in 2011, the initiative started, there has been an improving in water management of municipalities, and there are basically six pillars that we focus on in this benchmark, being the water conservation and demand management, the water resources and skill development, service delivery and backlog eradication in terms of providing access to water, operational and management and maintenance, the product quality and financial management within the water sector itself. And as part of this, Selva developed a web-based database and reporting system to assist municipalities with knowledge sharing and making available information. And we see that the successes that we've had on this, and also perhaps we send it to service services. Then just on the question of the eradication of the bucket system, there are a special interdepartmental program now where the Departments of Water and Sanitation and FOSTA and Human Settlements work together on that. We've made substantial inputs on how we think the 2P approach and we will keep on playing a part in ensuring that that consortium actually comes to fruition and that the work is being done. And then of course we also work with our municipalities to ensure that there are budgets available within the municipality to also upgrade the wastewater facilities and operation maintenance, which is critical to ensure that we have more waterborne sewage systems. Of course, we have challenges in areas like the Northern Cape, where although we don't support the bucket system, it sometimes is very difficult to get waterborne sanitation due to the shortage of water in those areas, but we work with municipalities on that. Thank you.
So we would also in the third question 24 of the electricity cable theft, again it has become a national outcry, in particular to the network that according to the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry in June 2014, a couple of 33rd barometer that we almost had 12.2 million of theft in the country, and the Chamber of Commerce is that the first month decreasing to February 2014 is totally to determine whether the trend is similar. The other indication is that what we are advocating is that there must be some serious measures and we lobby and mobilize all of us to be part of this issue because we must seriously and justice system in the country, Maharaj, was to properly the serious matter. The indication is that those who vandalize, they go in and go out there with a very easy make the ways of dealing with matters. I'm sure it's caused by not really ready to deal with this matter. And this matter is raised a couple of times in different formats, but there is a need that the fact that this is a sophisticated service that turns into the national leadership to ensure that we have a sustainable power supply is part of the growth of South Africa. And therefore, I think we want to put it here that we are fully concerned and we are taking interest to put it into a national discussion. That we all take responsibility to lead the matter. And the matter has also been raised with that rules of culture, that the relevant legislation be developed to mitigate, I think, this effect. Can I call 2 minutes to deal with the question 25, which is the last question?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. The last question was really an advice by the committee that SAUDA, given its maturation, it must start working towards building itself as a capable center of knowledge and intelligence for the sector. Our response here is to assure the committee that indeed we are working towards that. And there's a lot of data, local level data, that municipalities either access through private means at a very great cost. And also within the public data collection system, relatively few level data up to the world levels. I think the most good attempt that has been done, the most recent census results, does not actually come to the world level data. So what we are working on as well is really towards measurement of performance at municipalities. How do we make sure, one, we build SAUDA as an intelligent center of information and data and knowledge hub, and secondly, work in such a way that municipalities can access data fairly in local government. So we're working towards the municipal barometer. That will be one of the cross-cutting tools that will measure various type of level data around governance, around municipal financial performance, around research-oriented outputs that come to local government, packaging it, make it available through web-based portal, and working with various partners, the TFSA being one of our core partners around this. And we also have this association internationally that has advanced around this area of intelligence. PMG International, our Netherlands partner, have long been champions around packaging data, quality management systems in local government. So indeed, we're working around ensuring that all municipalities, we can have a data intelligence system, we can measure performance at any time, and make sure that municipalities can also access data for planning, as well as improving the reporting and accountability. Thanks very much.
Sir, thank you very much. We want to submit the answers to the questions, and we want to ask for our questions, and we'll be able to come back. Thank you very much for your patience.
Well, sir, thank you very much. This is the question about COVID now, and I think the answers are very comprehensive. Very useful also, because you can then for many years to come. Every time you come, you answer this question. What else have you done to improve the quality of local government? Another challenge is that you are facing at the local government level. I think are very useful. The answers, of course, honorable members are here. They will have other issues that they want to discuss with the DALCA. And even the second task, of course, now is measuring, is going to assist us to raise some of the issues that you've been covered to be dealing with. It is important the cooperativeness of our governance system should be appreciated in that event to ensure it works that way. Of course, I know that in ourselves, in Professor Kubi, I started in our course. Knowing course. In South Africa, everyone in course. And I know that he's in Mdauna, I mean, both. And then I think that's a bigger problem that we want to address. And I think we should address this issue first, and then we move on to the Salka, I think it's very important for us now. I think we should take 10 minutes to pray. For Colin to really, I think, the Mamche, you have aid in the morning. We want to make to give you a privilege to go and have something to eat. Let's take 10 minutes break and come back and have a discussion with our colleagues. See what that is and to what is also in the process of the process and something of the process. Let's pray for 10 minutes. Mom said, we must go eat. Otherwise, we'll finish it by itself. And we should pray for colleagues to pose questions if they want to pose questions. And just repeating again, repeating questions that have been already answered. And then, because otherwise, again, you can restart discussing matters that are there. Unless there are matters arising just from the question that are posed, colleagues who can expand on that, make some proposals, make some suggestions, and see what else we can do. Because we have to work together with Salka anyway. The cooperative government side of the thing, the system there, is enjoying us to work together with Salka. Therefore, we can't avoid working together with Salka. And then the organized local government. Okay, colleagues, what are the issues that colleagues want to raise? Without really, again, they have answered the question, I think, in very detail, really. Unless the issue is really that we want to capture some of that. Nava, Honorable Madonna, Honorable... Okay. Please call it.
Sheraton, I think Falba have responded comprehensively on the issue. I think what I was doing is to take the discussion center, maybe on this issue, for the presentation of me. The first issue that I think I should raise with Alga, one, is that now we have more than 20 years of democracy. 20 years back, I would not have raised this issue that I'm going to raise in this session, but I think as a developing country, we can't be a country that is starting. Yes, Salka raises the issue of strategic leadership and professionalization of municipalities. And in my own thinking, I think our local states have not developed to a level that they're supposed to be. We're still talking about the problem that 20 years back we've been talking about state problems. But the problem with municipalities is weak political leadership. And it's becoming a problem because local municipalities is where you need strategy, thinking, leadership. And I think I want to propose to Salda to look into how can we change that. I have seen strategic officials leading municipalities, but we have poor political leadership. The people who are supposed to give over, I said, have no capacity at all and continue to live like that. When are we going to move from that? I understand in the past 20 years, I would say, leaders not need skills. And I don't think we should continue with this thing in local states where people literally do not have skills. They cannot even hear what is being discussed. Then how do you assist in building dying municipalities when you have leadership that cannot even provide strategic thinking? I think you will understand some of the things you talk about. Therefore, I'm saying, what makes us municipalities collapse? We might think that there are no technical professional people, but the people who are supposed to take decisions and politically do not have the capacity at all. Therefore, I want to raise the issue of qualification to politicians at the local field. People are going to say to me, how people power for that, yes, we're going to. It's not justifiable that person of my age, at my age, certainly years, cannot capacitate my life, himself, and want to be a strategic institution like a municipality. Therefore, I want to put that in front. The second one, I think I must say to Sasa, to me, I don't want to take the kind of justification. I hear the president speaking about that it's not acceptable for people to burn in society, but there are not in consequences. People are wearing party regalia. The people who burn a clinic, a school, they wear a party regalia. But when I was still in the liberation struggle, I used to know that you don't talk with the t-shirt of the party. You don't become a distraction to society with the t-shirt of your party. But today, it's acceptable that you see that these people, they're wearing a certain party regalia, they are doing. It might be them who are causing a problem in that new science, in terms of climate. But they wear and then they bend themselves. No consequences at all. So, I think if we're talking consequences, I want Sasa to go out and even of the framework. Because these people are not arrested. They're arrested today, in the morning, they are released. Even those cases, they just collapse. Politicians themselves, they go negotiate for these people to go out. Now, state resources and finances to build infrastructure are destroyed by the relative people and no consequences. The zoning issue. I don't know, or I should be told, because the answer that I'm receiving, I don't think it's adequate enough. I'm saying cities are collapsing. And every time we're told that, I don't think it's only technical, it's monitoring. Monitoring is not being done. It's not only technical. Like the Oroyo would know, in the next Mandela, the planning, they had capacity for it. But it's happening there. Because the local state is not focusing on the essence, the basic of what the municipality is supposed to do. The zoning and planning are the key function of what the municipality is supposed to perform. But municipalities are not. Municipalities are chapter 3. And I think we should reconsider this. Municipalities, I'm focusing on housing. Municipalities, when it's new housing, I know, we work very hard. Maybe we need to look at trading. What municipalities are doing? What instruments do we use to say municipalities perform? Does a municipality perform when it delivers more housing? But it's not its function. Does that determine what the components of the municipality? Because I've seen like many municipalities want power to develop houses. But a core function of basic services provision in municipalities is not. A friend of mine was telling to me, I have seen many informal settlements in high developed areas, informal settlements everywhere. What causes that is because the monitoring ability of municipalities is not there. To say, you cannot develop here. Here is a business area. Here is a farming area. Here is they are not doing what they are supposed to do. Now, cities are just becoming slums. As I was saying, now you change now with here. He wants to protect. Why do you need to But in municipalities, there are certain responsibilities what a municipality is supposed to do. And that's what they are going to have an open-handed arrangement. Anybody can do whatever wants to do. Will our city develop if we have no properly run communities? Therefore, Frank, I'm not happy with that. Because what makes cities collapse? Who said my son? The reason why we're doing city regeneration in Johannesburg, inner city regeneration, what of the inability of a municipality to monitor its bylaws and where business operates and what operates. Now government has to refund functions that could have been done. Therefore, I'm raising this debate for you, Sarka, for you to consider in going forward. Thank you.
Honorable Masola, I know that you have reacted by the big and
Honorable thank you very much. I want to start by saying that all of us should really welcome the comprehensive responses. This document can be very useful as we debate and engage on a whole range of local government matters. It doesn't cover everything, but I think that it's a very useful document. Let me really focus on some of the key questions going forward. The second issue that I want to raise is on the question of the parking system. I hear the argument that the parking system matter is a matter of sanitation and water affairs. It's a matter of cost. It's a matter of human detriment. But it's not a very helpful approach because you know, nobody stays at a place called International, or at a place called Continental, or at a place called Gilina, even at a place called National or Provincial. Everybody stays at a local municipality. And therefore, in relation to the situation of the market system, we need to be very active at the local government level, identify the problem, and begin to say this is how the problem ought to be dealt with. In my own little experience in local government, things tend to happen in municipalities where people have some ideas. Even if local government departments want to dump the funds, that used to happen quite often in the past, I'm sure it's still a problem that we need to deal with. Going forward. They only dump road funds at a place where there's a plan. Usual. Where they can justify. No. So the question of plans and ideas is very, very important. So I'll argue there that what we need to do to really do is to continue to encourage authorities to develop ideas and ensure that those ideas are made available. As we engage with various departments and the local stakeholders. On the question of energy, I think what we need to do is to ensure that the issue of energy is broadly understood at the local government level. For instance, I'm going to just generalize the issue. When it comes to energy, the question of coal comes into the equation. The question of nuclear energy comes into the equation. We need to generally explain the Zimbabwean population that while we continue to pursue issues of sustainable development, and that's very, very important. Going forward. But our agenda should not be driven by the modern economy of Europe and elsewhere, where the concern of those countries is not just sustainable settlement, but is to try and get as many people as possible to buy in into their own products and their own technologies and so on. So because the politics of sustainable development is not law. I'm not saying that that should not be into a green economy. By all means, I mean, pursue wind energy, solar energy, and so on and so forth. But be mindful of the politics, of the critical politics out there. On the question of stolen cables, one of the things that really has been keeping me away for a long period of time is the way in which we have failed to take action against specific countries. For instance, many of the things that get stolen in buildings, cables and so on, railway lines, etc., are sold in specific scrapyards. I don't think there's anything undemocratic about targeting those specific scrapyards and closing them down. Among others, I mean, of course, I don't want to see convictions, hiring of convictions, and so on. But closing down the scrapyard, I mean, it's one of those things that will be relatively easy to do. Because all you need to do is to act by the book. Many of these scrapyards are not properly operating and so on. So my prints on their necks, and then you're going to ensure that, you know, we will get rid of this kind of problem. So it's not additional funding that's required. It's not additional skills. It's simply unleashing a bureaucratic approach and dealing with the problem at hand. I know that there's an Indian man who was arrested in Johannesburg. Where in that case, did that man get convicted? Is that scripture still operational? And so on, those kinds of questions are critical. Under the question of wage judgment, just to say I endorse that would be adopted by Gallagher, I think it's a good thing. But we need to act with agents. Because 2016 is really around the corner. And the unions will be taking their bit. Because they would not like this settlement issue to sort it out before the 2016 election. Especially here, I mean, dealing with unions like SAM, as an example, it's really a big problem. It has been occurring over many years and so on. So we need to deal with the issue. So what I'm urging for is get on the negotiation and ensure that the issues are sorted out. The sooner, the better. On leadership, agree again on the broader president by Zaliga. And the question of leadership, not whether one is a PhD and so on. I think the PhD is very important, but it's not about that. The next question that was raised here is very in relation to ensuring that people are developed as leaders in the same way that the matter is being taken seriously by even the most advanced private sector company, where you produce as many leaders as possible. And leadership, I'm not just talking about politicians or political people. I'm not talking about managers. Because there are many managers who are just head tasks, really. They have all the PhDs. And they're very learned. Like the member of the TA was saying, they're very learned and so on. But they can't produce anything. They can't make material difference on the ground. Okay, I can give you many examples of that if you want. On the question of corruption, corruption is a perception. That's there. Unfortunately, local government is the victim. And what we need to do is to acknowledge the perception and do everything possible to address it. I guess the real leadership also comes into the picture here. And we need to take the Salga anti-corruption summit ideas forward. So we don't end up by saying we had a conference, there is good resolution, there is big animal rain. But we need to be answering the question, what is that is saying with to ensure that the issue is taken forward. Control ownership by all municipalities, that this land is a serious problem that needs to be implemented in an ongoing way. Fortunately for us, there's a very strong move in the country, the government, that this matter really needs urgent attention. So we need to move forward. I also like to welcome the chair, the notion of a civic habit. And just say that lobbying is a special area of work. On the question of revitalization of mining towns, I agree. What we do need to do, though, going forward, is to link the whole question of revitalization to the NDP. So in an ongoing way, we see ourselves as pursuing the issues that are kept in the NDP and encouraging planning overall in general. And we need to avoid building of the ghettos of the future. Small little houses which government investment departed from some time ago now. Good housing is being built. But we need to strengthen those kinds of intervention. But the other point that I want to raise is really the dilemma that faces the thing of South Africa. I always tell a story of one professor who was the head of planning in the first university. And those are the things that was it. The planners in South Africa are trained even now as we speak, as if they are going to work in the suburbs of New York. Which is, I mean, the fair sector. There's a story that we took to a place called, we met in Kobe, a place called Carson. By the time we met the president of Carson, the chief was Asian great, because he was so shocked about what he had seen. So in his whole life, this professor had never been to an important place. In his whole life, he had a grade of learning at his best. Now there are many planners like this, right? You find them, and across the color line.
Yeah.
Across the color line. You find a chap in an interview who comes very well. Know what the concept and so on. And you say, okay, now let's talk in formal settings. Everything that is learned at school goes through the window. Everything becomes irrelevant completely. So the question of ensuring that planners really are familiar with the environment, the reality of the findings in South Africa. Yes, but they have to operate in Horton, but they should also be able to operate in the 101 informal settlement that we have across the country. Have an idea on how these issues must be dealt with going forward. For as long as there are planners that have no clue, then they are irrelevant to the country. And this is the notion that was promoted, I think, through SALC.
One is kept to
Yeah, it's just very mindful is that we have to attend those initiatives. And then some of the areas they are already under general anesthesia. But there are new areas that colleagues are emphasizing on. Just bear in mind that we didn't have sufficient time to take 7 minutes, 10 minutes each. Kulebo, you are welcome. You are from another football committee.
Thank you. I'll plan to be as quick as possible. Just on the issue of qualifications, I hear the Sunday Times are going to be investigating Dr. Kumalo's qualifications.
Kumalo?
Dr. Kumalo.
I'd like to just talk briefly on the issue of corruption. And what concerns me here is that, and thank you, Solga, for your comprehensive response. It really is well thought out and well responded to. But it concerns me that on the issue of corruption, we're talking and not doing. And I'd really like to see Solga putting forward some strong proposals to local government. Particularly with regard to, and it bothers me that we talk about the perception of corruption. Corruption is a reality in South Africa. You just have to go to the Auditor General's report and look at unauthorized, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure to know that corruption is a reality. So let's not talk about perception. It's a reality. Now, what are we going to do about it? So yes, it's what's
going on. Not perception.
I'm saying that it's a reality. And that, yes, we've got audit plans to address them, but one of the things that I'd like to see Telka encouraging municipalities to do is to open up their procurement processes, to make them more transparent, make them open to public scrutiny, to open up the bid processes, to open up the bid adjudication processes. So that's something tangible that can be done very easily, very quickly, at a recommendation to local government. Chairperson, then the comment was made about the collective bargaining process, and Selva's response there is that it supports a differentiated approach to the different municipalities, which I'm very glad to hear, because over the years we've been calling for this. Different sized municipalities have different resources available to them. What is Selva doing in negotiations in the immediate short term to address this issue? Have you identified municipalities that are able to meet a 5% increase, a 7% increase, an 8%? Have you done that, and are you bringing that to the table when you go into the negotiations with Bangor and Limpopo? Chairperson, then the next issue is really about infrastructure. And the issue here is particularly rapid unplanned growth, and it touches on what was spoken about zoning, touches on what Honorable Mfondo spoke about, urbanization and planning, but what we're seeing is that municipalities are granting building approval without the infrastructure, the reticulation infrastructure in place, or the back-end system to support that reticulation. So I'll give you an example. I was in Makado Municipality I was in Lephalale Municipality last week, and what we're seeing there is huge development, hundreds of houses being built, and they're connected to treatment facilities for sewerage that don't have the capacity to meet the needs of that community because it's got a limited capacity. So they haven't updated the treatment facilities to meet those needs. Or they connect thousands of houses to a sewer pipe that's not big enough in the pipe first. And these are planning issues that are not taken into account, so we need to provide support. But it needs to be tangible support. In other words, we need to provide engineers, we need to provide resources and planning and planners to show them here's how you deal with those issues. And in this regard, I'd like to address one particular issue. We talk about energy, and we talk about sustainable energy, and we talk about biogas. These are all lovely initiatives. I have no issue about those. But are they really what we should be focusing on when we should be dealing with water and sanitation and housing and basic services? Or is this another pipe dream that we're going to chase for years to come? Chairperson, while we're talking about water, one of the big issues that I have is that we're not dealing sufficiently with water losses. I was in Thabazimbi, and Thabazimbi has a...
Yeah. I've been working on
that. What are you doing?
What is that, one person. So I think some Zimbi. And they have a 14 million rand debt to Makhali's Water. They owe Makhali's Water 14 million rand. They don't have the money to pay. But their water losses are 50%. So 50% of the water that they buy, they lose before it gets to the consumer, and they're not getting any revenue back for it. These are problems that we can address very easily by putting in leak detection teams, etc. And we need to train municipalities to deal with that. I was very pleased to see the municipal benchmarking initiative for water. I think that's fantastic. Could we get access to that information? Is it possible for us to see a presentation on that at some point? And also the research and the data that you are getting as part of your repository of knowledge and the municipal barometer, I'd like to see a detailed presentation on that. I am a little bit concerned that there might be some duplication of effort between what Selga is doing and what the department is doing in that regard. But that's something that I'm sure Selga will resolve. Just one last thing before, or two last things. The first one was, there was a comment about training the AGs to recognize issues of local government. And I think, on the one hand, I think that's a good thing, but on the other, I think that the AG has a specific role, and we should not be trying to force them into the mold that we see as necessary. Did you comply? Did you not comply? If you didn't comply, and the legislation says what the compliance issues are. So we shouldn't try and deviate them all that. I just wanted to raise that. And then the issue that Honourable Mtsona raised about table theft, and he suggested that we need to prosecute it and chase these people down. I think that's so true. And I want to highlight that it has been very, very successfully done right here in the city of Cape Town. Cophead unit was very successful in reducing cable debt. So, citizens, thank you very much.
When are you taking your home outside visit to Mbapu?
Citizens, I will get it. Maybe.
What I'm doing. And the professor come in and feel every last one.
Yeah, mostly my colleague covered me. We cannot come here and say corruption, we perceive that there is corruption. When the president proclaims signed proclamation for the NIU to investigate corruption, then we will be defeating ourselves. Secondly, Minister Prime Minister saying a lot of intention, like in August 2014, the late minister. So we are still saying we have what anyway. But 30 municipalities which got clean out of 278. So we're doing absolutely nothing. If it was 50%, at least we say no, we are towards a clean body. So this is nothing very subtle. Issues of the new minister came back to Beijing this year. There was nothing done before. So contradictions after contradictions, strategies after strategies, without implementation of all these things, I think local government will fail. Because we've got a lot of strategies with which we cannot implement. Regulation of budget system. We are still coming here and say budget system. So I don't know where we are going, but I think Selga will start now, knowing that we take local government seriously, because all of us, we go to vote, we know what is happening. And people tend also to think that corruption is looting public money. If the council doesn't call a meeting and complain at the end of the month, that's corruption. If officials are not performing their duties and get paid during the end of the month, that's corruption. Mm-hmm. So we cannot come here and say corruption, we believe corruption, when corruption is there. No, in most of the cadres. What can the local committee?
If you don't attend the meeting of the committee, is that corruption?
That is corruption, we are fixed.
I'm very happy about that.
Thank you, Chair. Before we go to one more, Madras, let's
begin to
the water. I just want to talk about that. You know, the department, for instance, needs to do something about the issue of water, sharing the water area. So I'm only committing some of the water. A cluster is on the side of Jogin. There's a big dam there, and the communities around that place do not have water. Now, there are two things. One is either creativity on the side of the municipalities. That's number one. That they're not creative. Why saying that? If a municipality like Zulem, this municipality can take water to Zulem, up the mountains, to the municipality, and I think even the municipality around could do something. But at the same time, my feeling is that we need to assist the departments, capacitate them, so that they get skills that they need, so that they are able to provide water, especially for those communities, because it's water is a necessity. And look, it's not only that, but even other areas, rural areas, you know, I know that this is a function of these big municipalities. I think they need to be capacitated. That's number one. Number two is the issue of fraud, corruption, which is not a decision. Definitely not a decision. It's a reality. The Auditor General's report recently indicated that in some of the provinces, not all of them, that the bigger part of projects are given to friends, family members of those employees, municipal relatives, and so forth. I think we will care about corruption because it is a reality. And even large sums of money spent on, even those who are employed in municipalities, tendering with the same municipalities, you know, that's an issue, or with other municipalities in the neighborhood. That's really an issue. I think we really need to do something on that. And of course, corruption is there, and somebody found to be corrupt must be arrested, and there should be measures to deal corruption. That's my picture. Only these two matters. Chosen it before.
Well, honorable call there. I'm not sure whether you are going to deliver though. So you're just visiting them to tell them that you are on your way. And then, see.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think maybe we must start by thanking Tanga for quite a very comprehensive response. Not comprehensive in the sense that it's many pages, but comprehensive in the extent of the attempt to respond to the questions. In terms of the content. But I just want to start by cautioning that we should not come here and present very simplistic solutions to very complex problems. Like the issue of water, which was raised in one municipality where there is a water that is in the system loss or something like that. You may find that problem is quite complex. It might have to do with the aging infrastructure, the fact that the piping that is there needs to replace them, the lower capital input that you need to put in place. It's not something that is very simple that you can come and say people must stop the tests and so forth. So you need to understand the complexity of the problem so that you can be able to provide the relevant solution. But I think, just to echo what Honorable Masondo was saying, the issue of the bargaining process is how we can be able to finalize the collective bargaining before the start of the elections. Because we know the tendencies that are there, especially in some regional movements. That tends to be very reactionary sometimes. Some of them are part of the tripartite alliance. We know that they've got a tendency to want to disrupt some important national processes. So it's how they can be able to finalize that collective bargaining before the end of next year so that they start being too well involved to invest. I was showing the report. I was reading a very interesting piece yesterday on the Times, on the front page of the Times, on a level, the decline in the investment in the infrastructure in the city. And this is a study which was conducted by two gentlemen, John Zuos and Pioswane Kuhn. They are the property analysts of FNB. They release every quarter, FNB releases property barometer. And they're making a very interesting point here to say that government fixed investment in economic infrastructure peaked in 1976 at 7.5% of the GDP. But it fell dramatically as the apartheid era government began spending even more on security, even as the economy began increasingly isolated. It fell to 2.2% of GDP in 2002, and it improved marginally last year. And the resultant pressure of visible electricity supply, water, and sewage, and not yet transport infrastructure. So the problem that we have in infrastructure can be directly linked from the decline in investment from 1976. And we know what was happening in 1976 in our country. But I'm happy that SALCA is doing something to try and support the municipalities. But I think we need to go further than that, to agitate and to lobby for the increase. You know, government over the past 5 years has came with a very comprehensive infrastructure development program. But I think we need to lobby that government needs to provide more towards improving and investing in infrastructure, in transport, in electricity, in water, so that we can be able to improve the lives of people. All the outcomes as my last point, Chair. I think we must be able to acknowledge that there has been an improvement in the audit outcomes. Although the improvement has not been as we expected it to be, but there has been a marginal improvement in the number of municipalities that are receiving good audit outcomes, and we must applaud the municipalities for that. But as we said the last time, that SALCA, together with COPTA, needs to do more to support municipalities, to make sure that the municipalities receive audit outcomes. I think it was bad on the part of the comments who were in charge by them to put the kind of target that they put for doing audits in 2014 without recognizing the systemic problems which are there in financial management and municipalities. I think it was very responsible by them for those comments to put that part of that type of target. But you can see increasingly the numbers are increasing, and we must be able to make sure that these 76 municipalities identified which receive adverse audit outcomes must be supported so that they can be able to get good outcomes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ramasha Mapula. Comment now and comment in the area. You can comment if you do want to comment on some of the areas. Some were not questions, they were contributions for us to the deliberation of local government. There may have been some questions that you may want to conclude on that. Honorable Nawa.
Thank you very much. We should appreciate the useful comments and questions. We thought it would take one or two chairs to respond, and perhaps what Honorable Mopulani has said. It's very important to appreciate that local government is involved. We had a 15-year-old system of local government, and progress has been made on different parts of local government, i.e. the matter that speaks to the report of the Auditor General. We are now at 50% of unqualified audits.
And if you go down 5 to 10 years down the line, well, far less. And the discussions about clean audit, we subscribe that clean audit is important because it's an issue that has been raised in public discourse, though sometimes distorts and it brings this issue about as corruption perception. Because an issue that money was not utilized and unauthorized, not, those concepts that you conceptually define, you might not necessarily find that money was stolen, but compliance was an issue. And whether you want to define that as corruption is something else, I'm sure the issue about deception then comes there. But, at what level do you call it corruption? Again, we can't underestimate the fact that there is corruption. So the issue about reality and perception is something that we can continue to raise. But if Honorable Makobo Ed was speaking about what is corruption for him, and that even if we miss a meeting, for him that's corruption. And that's a discourse that ordinarily is everywhere, that corruption means different things for different people. Just as a passing way, I worked for Transparency International as part of my life, and we did wish to do perceptions about corruption, raise countries according to what we perceive to be corruption. And that discussion, Honorable Masondo has always brought back the discussions about the North and the South, the plenary story. What would the North perceive, what is corruption? And that more details about the different kinds of corruption that must be discussed. It's an issue that we can take at the other day. But the point that we want to say is that local government is evolving. A lot of questions that the comments that are made, we think we should be able to take them forward. Appreciating that part of the issue that we have responded to is to deal with this issue of leadership, that there's weak leadership in local government. And the story about the sense of leadership is something that we also want to deal with, that same perception that you said, we're failing because of weak leadership. And the essence of coming back with those programs is to really come back to say, how do we prioritize and incapacitate local government to a point that is able to respond to the issues. There are penetrating questions that speak to labor. So Rio would take a point and then we can come up. But I think a lot of issues were commend, and we would want to sit back with them and see how that we can improve. The next meeting, we would be able to say that this question that you raised is how we have engaged them and we are responding to them. More importantly, because there are a lot of questions that link us to COGSA. We are involved with COGSA and the issue that we're working very close with the minister as a leadership level, but also administrative who are engaged. So those are issues that we are able to together can be able to respond to them. And Rio, just before Rio says, let me take care I'm not sure. So other than you close the issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. We also appreciate the comments that have been made because they assist us in terms of where the gaps may be, considering that what we have brought to the table today were responses to questions we couldn't, because of time, we couldn't report to at the last meeting. But we appreciate the comments that have come up here. I just want to touch on the eradication of the bucket system and the water and water losses. We would also, as SALGA, appreciate the assistance from this committee and also, I think, the government. Water in South Africa is a very scarce resource. And with the climate change, the desertification of our country is becoming very, very much. And so therefore, when we talk bucket systems, toilets, in South Africa, eradication of bucket system. Everyone in their own minds look at bucket system eradication as, having a waterborne sewer system as a replacement. We have not looked at other, your septic tank and so on. We have not looked at other methods or other options in terms of bucket eradication, bucket toilet eradication. So it is there that I think working together we should find common solutions to make it possible where we cannot have water pond sewage systems working, that they could be, and they are, and they should be acceptable working, so people can also, you know, the mindset should not be only about your water pond sewage system. And to also say, you know, it's very difficult to promise, to claim that we can eradicate the bucket system by year, whatever. For as long as there's this rapid urbanization where people come today, find a piece of land that is unplanned, move in there, create, build a settlement there, obviously there will be bucket toilets. There will not be any other form of a toilet except the bucket toilet or whatever, or pit toilet, pit latrine for that matter. And then say to government that you see this government is not delivering, this local municipality is not interested in our plight. Whereas it was not a, you know, a planned process of settlement there. So there are all these other underlying reasons for the continuous, you know, shifting of goalposts, if you like, about bucket toilet eradication, because it is, there are reasons that are created. So I would like to really end there to, yeah, let me stop there because there are other colleagues who will respond.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member of the Committee. I'll just touch on two things briefly, which are both related. The first one is to give the committee an assurance that we would have concluded the wage negotiation with the union by the time we are headed towards the end of local government. And part of the reason why we are able to make that commitment is because as we speak, we are engaging with the unions on the negotiating program. The unions obviously have asked to go back to their functions to get their salary money. We expect that the negotiations will start at the earliest this November or at the latest in January, depending obviously on factors that may contribute to occasional delays like that. And we have put a motion already on the negotiation table that we need to spend a maximum of a 90-day period working through the negotiation program around the wages, bearing in mind that we are likely should be running problems about concluding in the 90 days, the negotiation within 90 days, that our fallback will be 120 days. So worst case scenario in terms of our planning and the risk that we have set into the process is that we may be, if we are late, we may be concluding negotiations around June, July of next year. But our target is that we would have concluded them more or less at the time that municipalities are concluding their budget, which process obviously is concluded more or less at about April or May at the latest. So that's the commitment we want to make to honorable members. By that, honorable chairperson, I also have to indicate that these negotiations are going to be arguably the most difficult for us, given a very tricky labor relations environment that we face. Not only local government, but in the country, I would not like to venture into those details. But not only are we challenged by factors that are trying to affect the collective bargaining landscape, but one of the majority unions in Africa is also facing a lot of internal challenges inside, which might in themselves pose some challenges for us. We are also very appreciative of the fact that the program that they are going to invest in bargaining is more or less happening at the same time as that of the public service. So there's also an opportunity for us to align our efforts so that we also do not encounter what would be likely to be a problem for the country, where we are sitting with the possibility of a hike in both local government as well as the public service. So we are also engaging in conversations that would prepare better the outcome of those negotiations, having regard to the fact that we operate from two different systems of financial years as well as two sets of fiscal systems. The honorable member from the TA, I couldn't get his name properly, spoke about the issue around differentiated collective bargaining. I would just like to explain this thing perhaps in a way that's simple to committee members. Our collective bargaining approach, the essence of it is that it's differentiated. It's differentiated in the sense that it starts off by recognizing each and every municipality's revenue and cost base before we go into municipalities. But the constitutional structure of bargaining is such that unions make demands about increases in the sector. It becomes then our duty, having regard to the varying levels of affordability of municipalities, to place those municipalities who are able to afford a position where they are able to be exempted from those increases. The way that dispensation operates, it operates in such a way that it becomes embedded in a collective agreement of time and leaves it to the municipality, which is incapable of affording that increase, to start making a decision through its council to apply for exemption. Let's say, for example, the big increase is 6.5 or 6.8, and a municipality which can't afford will take that decision to council, and the council will process that decision accordingly, so that the ultimate outcome of that would be a less increase paid for by the municipality in line with this level of affordability. There is an opportunity, not now, Captain, in the very long term, that the city might solve to a point that we could, as part of the changing regime of constitutional parameters of the bargaining, that we could, in the essence of bargaining, indicate that these differences are relevant for these categories and these differences are relevant for this. But we are always trying to design the system in accordance with caucus so that it talks to the other remuneration instruments that regulate the categorized instruments that regulate cremation, whether for senior manager or whether for counter. But the whole system must talk in a way that all those factors of affordability and sustainability are equally factored into that decision.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, as I indicated that we, on behalf of the executive of Kanza, we appreciate the opportunity of coming for accountability to the committee, and we do hope that moving forward we will be able to really understand each other about the issues that have characterized local government in the country. The point that I thought you would say is that there will be issues that we think we should still come back to them. The matter about the water service benchmarking and the barometer, we would appreciate that in some time we can come back and give the details about what we are doing. But in that way, we, as I said, appreciate the opportunity to make a presentation and give our contribution to the work that we are doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chancellor, now for this presentation. Very comprehensive, I think that has said that a lot. So the Honourable Mitchell is going to file when she goes to that one. She also during the last human land, going all over, doing over 1,000 over 5. Unmandated one, but it's a very useful one, but it helps us to know what you want to do. And I thank you very much for that, and I hope we are going to meet again. But I do think that the leakage of water is a bigger problem. And then again, and what Honorable Mapulana was saying about the question of investment since 1976. And then the gap is too big, really. I think small municipalities will take them many years, really, just to close that gap in terms of infrastructural investment. Is a bigger issue, a bigger challenge for us. But thank you for the issue that you have raised. In future, when the issues also that you want to raise with the committee, you'll be in touch with the future of the committee. I think we'll make our effort available as members to have a discussion on some of the issues there. There surely also will be to the water and sanitation sometimes, have a discussion with them on some of the issues of water. Because a lot of issues anyway that are cooperative. The system of governance in our country is a cooperative system of governance. It means that all spheres are being handled from time to time to ensure that there's one way of planning in terms of moving on that. And thank you very much for that. And for our members, we are going to take a five minutes of your time just to adopt a minute. But we can remain nothing under the sun, it's secret. You can also go study if you want to leave. Thank you very much for the dedication. We have accepted that a lot of conditions back. Help me come.
check. You know, we request that we arrange for a show permission.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Would that be your two
days?
No. Call it the meaning. There are five sets of meaning. Honorable. I'm fine. You must have all these sites. So that's very long meetings. They don't go for narrative. Who says why, who didn't say why. It's just what are the decisions of the meeting we made. It's just to ensure that it's not a very long narrative who came late to the meeting. For Abul Motu, you kind of end up with not as long a meeting in the Korach. You didn't say this. When I was here, we didn't talk about Apollo. It is you now.
I was referring to councillors who are not calling meetings, and they are saying and through. There are lots of countries around South Africa whereby each level don't even have one single community meeting. And when you visit there, they will make the same.
Okay, colleagues. They can be first, they were just appointment of the shepherds. And I think, I'm not sure anything today in terms of the finish, the well capture, the abbreviation, the title. Just went for like a figure to the husband, right? Kabusa, instead of Kubisa. And then we end up thinking like that. And the first of July, they were just budget both three. Again, or the presentation by ministries and the resolution there. Any issue that's going to want to raise on page 1 and page 2, Mabaye. The 8th of July, the minister was presenting to the committee, based on budget work, cooperative government regional affairs, and then four paragraphs there covering what the minister was saying in terms of the money, in terms of the issues, the side of delivery, local government issues, and then cultural issues that are there, the education issues. And then DCA, and then of course members also raised many issues when they are concerned. And then the project management issues there were raised, the community work program, and the resolution of the community arising from this, between the community work program with the department with regard to meet municipal infrastructure grant spending, as it stands by MISA, to municipality is a critical issue of problem. I think that's what we are saying. On any issue that is a problem there. Me funding in general, I think the Minister of Sport was talking about this thing. I guess that those who serve in the committee must accept though that me funding 15% of it is meant for sport facilities. And then but I know that sometimes it doesn't work. I think Congress Malule was raising this thing. That they're going to place some sport facilities if they get the shipping that it's very clear that ourselves and the sport and the creation portfolio committee, we have to have one meeting just to have a discussion on this matter. Because I think we need sport facilities in our area. Those who say in what area Kubisa, England is very dear when you are rather than going and play. There are no problems. Sometimes we get the figure for their face. The meeting on the first of yes, sir. So,
the only issue there on the meeting of the A, which I think is not being facilitated, is the budget.
the lead issue or shall be raised in the meeting?
The lead issue.
The bucket allocation for the, one of the issues that was shall be raised.
Okay. So we would cover the board. And then the 10th of July. Then are we fine with that one?
Yeah. Chairperson, I have a bit of a problem on the 10th of July. There were a number of recommendations that were adopted by the committee. And when we adopt a recommendation, it should be recorded in the minutes, in detail. So I'm not happy with the fact that with the line that says members make proposal for recommendation. It doesn't capture what we actually decided. And I think that needs to be included going forward.
Okay, the recommendation will be captured in analysis form. Not the whole result.
No, I think I agree with that. But the other difficulty is that remember, we haven't raised some recommendation.
Yeah.
And then we agreed with them. And then later on, he repeated almost like reneging from the same resolution. So how do you capture that? If we agree as something that has been submitted, I think it might be the agreement of the committee. Not that after we have adopted later on one of the members who has sponsored the same resolution that says no, I'm not going to support the same resolution.
Yes. If I just respond to that. The recommendations were one thing, the report was a separate issue. I said we cannot adopt the report until the recommendations are included in the report. As it turned out, the recommendations were not all included in the report. So in adopting the report, we would have been adopting, we don't know, because we hadn't seen it, hadn't seen what final recommendations, and that's what we objected to. We said we cannot adopt the report. However, we agreed on the recommendation. Everybody agreed on the recommendation. There was no dispute on the recommendation. It was the report itself that was...
Okay, we agree that we are going to comply with the recommendation from 7 to 3. And then we try to put them down by capturing the exact project of what the committee agreed to do. May I not expect waiting like they will present there. Because just to summarize that, we said that the committee agreed that now there are two laws, there are two men. We must just have three resolutions, put all the servants into three. And then this was done, of course, I think Kevin is right in terms of capturing the recommendation. Exactly what is the recommendation? Just well, so that when we may follow up, we are very clear about some of the issues on that. Can we move to the 29? This one was a SALCA meeting with us, or invited SALCA, written by SALCA. We concluded where the meeting today should be. And then, yes, I thought for payment purposes. We already have us,
right?
Okay, and then since you got 3 likes you. If you are not around, just put you in. And then 3 out of the car, but...
That's
what
I'm
okay, colleagues, I think you are fine on the 29th one. And any problem with any set of the minutes, since we are here with them. IEC?
I'm fine, although I'm alternating in this meeting.
But the decision that I take by majority binds everyone.
Yes, yeah, right. I know.
But when you go to much as here, you say that we have adopted the meaning of the... And right now you want to report. Thank you very much. Colleagues, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, colleagues.
I must identify.
When did you order this register? You ordered the whole?
No, I...
Sorry, I'll see that
I'm